A very good morning to one and all. And I'd like to thank God and the pastors for giving me this opportunity, privilege, on this occasion to minister to you. It is a day of many joys together. First, this is Mother's Day, or some churches would like to call it Parents' Day, all right? Because Father's Day, it's in Singapore, is June, first week of June, I think. And in Australia, Father's Day is September. You know, a gap of so many months, it is an anticlimax. All right, after that Father's Day, what is that? Only selling those DIY equipments. Father's Day. So they like to combine the two and call it Parents' Day. So I like to wish all parents, grandparents, a richest blessing from the Lord. And may the Lord strengthen all of you in the days ahead to guide your children or grandchildren. Second, it was a rare opportunity to witness the ordination of two new elders. All right, known them, and then, now that they are elders. Elders means elders. You know what? Age-wise, elder. And also new deacons, and the dedication of the church session. It's all combined to one, and I have this honor. Thank you. But before we go on to something very happy, a day of feasting for many, makan, because bringing the mothers out for dinner, let's look at something very, very sobering. Okay, I would call it alarming. This one, I take it out from the Department of Statistics 2026, still not out yet. So it's 2025, and talking about the stats in 2024. It says, key thing there, right? Pressure and confusion. It says in 2024, divorce rate increased by 3.7% over 2023. And it has always been on an upward trend. All right? And long-term stability remains a concern, even to the government. It remains a concern to them. And 14.4% had divorced before 10th anniversary. 10th anniversary, that is shocking. And couples married for 5 to 9 years accounted for the largest share of divorce rate, 29% in 2024. And it says that, especially for the Christian counselor taking this out, and says that the focus is on happiness rather than holiness or godliness. And I attribute this to the influence of the Hollywood culture. Even up to today, I still cannot fathom the rationale or the philosophy behind what they say. They have these celebrities, after a while, married a big hoo-ha. Then a short while, they say, we are going to go our separate way, divorce. And the worst thing is that they say, we still love one another. You know, if you still love one another, what's driving both of you apart? I think it was, we lose the happiness rather than focusing on godliness. And they focus on selves. Focus on self rather than on reflecting Christ. Certainly, if they are not in Christ, they will not reflect Christ. But this is it, unfortunately, among some Christians as well. So, today we want to talk about what is the biblical teaching? What does the Bible talk about? Godly wife and husband. And it's taken from 1 Peter 3, 1 to 8. When I accepted the invitation by King Kwan, Pastor King Kwan, and says, would you like to speak? After accepting, I was wondering to myself, why invite me to speak on a Mother's Day? One of the reasons could be because the text is taken from 1 Peter. For name's sake, I'm Reverend Peter Cheng. Who else is more appropriate? Who else is more appropriate? No one is appropriate. Even for me, namesake, only namesake. All right? Because as even pastors, we are all students of the Word of God. We learn. Except that as pastoral staff, we exercise more responsibility, discipline, to endeavor and make every effort to lead not only by God's word, but also by our example. And that's just a slight difference. We learn. We discipline ourselves all the more. All right? Even in the realm of marriage or marital life. Let's look at the purpose of marriage. What do you think that God instituted marriage? When you see a young couple standing before the minister, and then in the midst of a congregation, we ask, what's the purpose? Our marriages have a threefold purpose. Has a threefold purpose. It must be a testimony. Especially a testimony to the world. Like it or not, the moment we say, I do, we become a testimony, especially to the world. They are all looking at Christian marriages. We either become a beaming example, a beaming testimony, or we become a what? A stumbling testimony. It is definitely a testimony. Everyone is watching us, especially for Christian marriages. Second thing, our marriage is not just for happiness. It is to reflect Christ. Our marital life is meant to reflect Christ to the world. And ultimately, our marriage is what? To glorify God. Is to glorify God. Silently in our life, we don't have to make a loud cry and say, oh, our marriage. It's just that by faithfulness, godliness, we glorify God. So this morning, I'd like to propose that the precise understanding and practicing of the roles of godly wife and godly husband is crucial to living out the God-intended purpose of marriage. I repeat, the precise understanding and practicing of the roles of godly wife and godly husband is crucial to living out the God-intended purpose of marriage. It is from the book of 1 Peter that we are going to look into. First, we want to go into the role of the wife. All right, the role of the wife. First aspect of the role of the wife is winning without words. Winning without words. Oh yeah. 12 o'clock. Okay, let that go first. Don't disrupt us. But it has to be. As a nation, you have to sound the alarm. Okay? Let's be alert and not be alarmed. Okay, winning without words. Likewise, ye wives. Dearly beloved, I like to stress there. He says that Peter is saying, or even Paul in Ephesians is saying, ye wives. It's addressing to wives. It's not addressing to wives for the husband to use as a quotation. All right, bear this in mind. In my premarital counseling, I always emphasize again and again. E wives is talking, addressing to wives. Husband, don't use that as a quotation. All right? Don't ever use that as a quotation. It says, be in subjection to your own husband. Oh, every time when I touch on this, the wife will say, Pastor, it's kind of unfair. Kind of unfair. Be subjection to your own husband. The word of God tells us. This word is in the middle voice. It's not under convulsion. You are not compelled to do it. It is a middle voice which suggests what? Voluntarily. Wives, voluntarily subject yourself unto your own husband, that if any obey not the word, a heathen, if he is a heathen, they also may without the word, outside the word of God, be won by the conversation, be won by the life of the wives. Peter says it very, very clearly. Clearly. Be won by the conversation of wives. In our marital lives, sometimes we have arguments. And the basic common perception over argument is that change comes through pressure. All right? Through persistent argument and insistence. In other words, to say, if I pressure a lot more, if I speak a little louder, I win the case. That's the common perception. Is it not true? You see that in family quarrels. You see that even in parliament. In the corporate world, who has the louder voice usually wins the day. But that's common perception. But what about God's word? We are supposed to be different. We are not supposed to follow the trend of the world. God's teaching is that through quiet, consistent weakness. What does that mean? A life lived faithfully before God and a godly life speaks louder. even without words. Even we don't have to say a single word. Just by the quiet life that we are leading. All right? This is winning without word, the first aspect. The second is the power of inner beauty. Mandarin call it 内在美. Oh, a lot of people like to stress on that. Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hairs and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Verses 3 to 4. This morning at the 8 a.m. service, I asked this question. And only one put up the hand. And I'm going to repeat that question. I'm going to repeat that question. Only to the sisters, all right? Not to the brothers. Only to the sisters. Who among us today, this morning, come to this worship service without any jewelry, either earring or bracelet or necklace? Who among us do not? Put up your hand. Oh, yeah. Bigger congregation will have the percentage wise still. This morning was one, only one. Uh-oh. Peter is against you. Not at all. I mean, Apostle Peter, not Reverend Peter. The Apostle Peter is not condemning outward beauty. Not at all. He is just correcting a misplaced emphasis. As though that I put on more, that I will be more attractive. You can put on. It's all right. But is that your only emphasis? Wear designer product. Initially, it was called branded product. Now, they changed the terminology. It's called designer's product. All right? But Peter says, no, that's not. Let's have the inner beauty, the hidden man of the heart. The world says, beauty is outward, visible and temporary. Yes? And the world even recognizes that beauty is temporary. I think all of us agree to it, right? It could be now, and then a few years later, it's a different picture. All right, they understand that. But they emphasize on the outward part. But what does God's word say? True beauty is inward, spiritual, and eternal. If you come a little earlier, you see something flash. All right, Pastor Charles says, flash one. Proverbs 31. It's one of the passages that we will use at premarital counseling. Favor is what? Deceitful. Beauty is vain. But the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's inner beauty. That's inner beauty. That's what God says. All right? Exhibit that. Show it out quietly. This does not mean what? This does not mean that by doing this, by winning without words, by the power of inner beauty, we show our weaknesses. Not at all. It actually means a spirit that is at rest in God. I trust God than anything else. I trust God than my jewelry, than my outward adorning. All right? And a heart that trusts God even when circumstances are difficult. The circumstances when Peter wrote the first Peter, it was really difficult. He was writing to a diaspora, scattered because of persecution in Asia Minor. And Peter says that, I understand that you are in heaviness through many, many trials and temptation. They were in very, very dire situations. And if they are in dire situation, if they were in dire situation and they have to exhibit that godliness, much more than we in Singapore today. Because we are living in relatively peaceful day, peaceful place. The world may be tumultuous, but Singapore, apart from the concern for our job, concern for food prices, we are still okay. We thank God for that. Then all the more, we have to exercise godliness. All right, a circumstances far, far better than the time. And the third aspect is hope in God. Hope in God. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, and Peter singled out Sarah, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Peter singled out Sarah. And notice this carefully. Sarah's strength was not in her personality. Oh yeah, Sarah has a wonderful personality. Not. Peter says what? Who trusted in God. Sarah's trust in God. That's Peter's emphasis. So, because of that, Sarah being in subjection unto his husband, that submission is not blind obedience. As though that, oh yeah, I'm under my husband, he is the head of the house. Whatever that he says, I have to obey. Not blind obedience. If it is against the will of God, wives, be bold enough not to follow. Like in the ancient days, thank God that yes, it's extinct. No more practice, especially in Singapore, that the husband can order the wife to die. Not Australia to today, to die. Really, literally die. Commit suicide. In those days. But today we don't. If your husband dare to defy the cultural trend and ask you to die, don't follow. You are against God. All right? Not blind obedience. Not loss of dignity. As though that I'm playing a second fiddle. Not at all. It is total trust in God. Trust in God's what? A conscious trust in God's sovereignty. God knows all. God knows all. And he has this plan in a family that the husband is the head of the house. You cannot have too many heads. All right? You cannot have too many heads. But the wife is a good counselor. Is a good counselor. give advice and all that. Ultimately, when it comes to the decision time, if the husband, following God's order, very conscious of what God is leading, made the decision and says, I am willing to obey. That's a conscious trust in God's sovereignty. So a godly wife reflects Christ, not by control. This morning I introduced a word that I learned many years ago from my uncle, and I don't like you to learn this word. The word is called queen's control. You know what is queen's control? We don't have queen, thank God. Queen's control means that the husband is now listening to the wife. It's called queen's control. Who is the queen in the house? Who is the number one in the house? The wife. No. We don't need to. All right? It's by God's word. We don't need to. But by trust, character, and quiet strength. So, after talking about all this, all right, in short, what is the takeaway for wife? What is the takeaway today for wife from this passage? First is trust. Trust in God. Trust in God. All right? Second, quiet strength. Winning without words. Winning without words. Winning with inner beauty. With inner beauty rather than much, much adorning. After the wife, now the husband. I'm sure the husband will be very happy like me. Why? Only one verse. Hooray! Only one verse. Don't be happy too fast. I tell you, that one verse is packed with profound teaching. Scary. Alright? First, husband, live with understanding. Dwell with them in understanding. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. What does it mean by according to knowledge? What knowledge? That knowledge is that dwell with your wives with an intelligent recognition of the nature of marriage relation. And that's only from God's word. I repeat. With an intelligent recognition of the nature of marriage relationship. This is dwelling with our wives according to this kind of knowledge. Have we? Do we? Second, be intentional. Do not ever think that loving my wife, dwelling with her with understanding is inborn, innate in me. When I'm born, I know. You don't have to teach me. Not at all. Not at all. It's actually the opposite. Therefore, we have to be intentional. We have to put in our will. Be intentional to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. And be present and not absent. Be present all the time. All right? Be present all the time. The second aspect is showing honor as co-heirs. Showing honors as co-heirs. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, weaker in a sense of physical, not moral, not intellectual. All right? They are weaker physically. And as being heirs, co-heirs, of the grace of life. This is revolutionary. This is revolutionary. If all of us practice that, we don't need women's liberation. In those days, women were really undervalued. All right? But Peter declares, husband and wife are co-heirs of God's grace. To the outside world, this is unheard of. This is really unheard of. Not in any religious literature. Only in the Word of God. All right, what does that mean? It means that it's equal worth. Both husband and wife bear the image of God equally. Equally. Second part is equal dignity. Honor them. So neither is lesser before God. Neither is lesser before God. All are equal. So do not belittle the wife. Or even sometimes the wife belittle the husband. Especially in some social gathering. And I like to warn and I like to teach. As you go out, you meet friends. As you go out, you meet your colleagues or meet others, relatives. Sometimes I heard about either wife or husband belittling the other part. Ah, talk about my wife. It's nothing. She doesn't know anything. What do you mean? Honor her or honor him. And sometimes, my husband doesn't know anything. I have to tell him this and that. Not in the presence of others. Honor them. Honor each other. All right? Equal dignity. And also equal standing before God. As co-heirs of the grace of God, we have an equal standing. So for a husband, treat the wife with respect, dignity, and care. With respect, dignity, and care. Now comes the hardest part. Now comes the hardest part. Heeding a very serious warning. This is not mentioned when Peter was talking to the wife or writing to the wife, but he says about the husband, that, husband, your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. What does that mean? What does that mean? Because it's very sobering. A husband's spiritual life is directly connected to how he treats his wife. I'm going to say that again. A husband's spiritual life is directly connected to how he treats his wife. This is a very serious warning that we must take heed of. The warning. How the husband treats his wife directly affects his relationship with God. We all endeavor to stay close to God. But if we do not treat our wife with dignity according to the biblical knowledge, it is going to affect our relationship with God. This is what Peter is saying. That your prayers be not hindered. What does that mean? Marriage is not separate from spirituality. Oh, I pursue spirituality in one compartment, and my marriage life in another compartment. They are not different compartments. They are all together. You want to look about, you want to know your spiritual well-being or life, look at your marriage. Look at your marriage. All right? It is directly interrelated. In fact, it is a reflection of it. Your marriage life is a reflection of your spirituality. Is it heavy? It is heavy, heavy. Then what is the takeaway? Honoring our wife. Let's learn to give them that dignity. Living with understanding. Living with understanding. And exercising responsibility. Do not think it's all right. It's easy. Exercise responsibility. Now, after wife and husband, what about two together? What about the sharing? Husband and wife, we have a shared calling. We have a shared calling. And that calling is a three-tier: unity, love, and humility. Unity, love, and humility. After saying all this, I'm going to ask, perhaps that you will say to me, Pastor, it's so hard. It's so hard. Yes, I acknowledge that it's hard if it is by our own strength. It is by our own endeavor, by our own effort. It is going to be hard, especially now that the circumstances are challenging. The morality of the world is going downhill. By our own effort to exercise our role, hard. But are we depending upon our own strength, our own effort? Not at all. If by our own effort, I can guarantee 100% failure. But we are not. Thank God, we are not. Christ transformed us. We are renewed in our mind. We are a new creation if we are in Christ. Christ transforms us. We are no longer the person that I used to be. Just like Augustine. When they say, oh, you. He says, no. The old Augustine is dead. My life is anew now. So try, transform. And grace of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace, the God of all grace, empowers us. Look to God for the empowering. Lord, it is not mine. By my own strength, I will fail. But I'm not. I'm not relying on my own strength. I want to be the student of your word. I want to rely on your empowering. So, with this, can we achieve? Certainly. Certainly. God is always there to wait, to hear our cry, to help us to navigate through. So, let our marriage be reflecting Christ. That others will see us and say, yes, Christ is in this marriage. Let us be a testimony by our marriage. People can say, hey, why? Because the grace of God. Because of the grace of God, that our marriage can be a testimony of defying the trend, of defying the statistics, because God is with us. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this wonderful teaching by the Apostle Peter. Lord, we thank you. In the current circumstances of the downhill trend of morality, Lord, you transform us. You empower us to uphold the godliness of our marriages. Help us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.